Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, Goodness. The scripture reading is Genesis 1, 27 to 31. Thank you to Rhonda, Earl, Glynis, and Dawn for being involved.
Okay, good morning. November 17th, Great Lakes is having an evening open house. And November the 25th is Shadow Day. And November the 26th, the course sings at the Ice Dogs game. So if you know any kiddos, Shadow Day is a great thing for grades 7 and 8, I believe. Yeah, grades 7 and 8. So encourage them to come. Woohoo! We're going to have a potluck on December the 2nd. And the potluck, there's going to be a presentation from Ruth on her work in New Guinea. And Janet's got more details if you'd like to have that. So there you have it. And we do have some people in our midst who are still sick. Marie's not here today. Jack's because of Jack. And then she's going to have her hip replaced, I think, next week, I think. So there's lots going on in that household to keep in our prayers. Okay, let's pray. Dear God in heaven, no matter what state we're in today, no matter what our tribulations are, no matter what our joys are, we pray that you will not make us healthy or happy or rich, but rather that you will make us holy. And as a deer longs for the streams of cool water, we long for you, God. We're here to worship you and to praise you, and we long for the day that we can praise you in your presence. And we put all of our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was teaching, which seems quite a while ago, lots has happened since 2019 when I stopped teaching. However, you know, I think recently, when I'm reading the newspaper, how would I handle teaching today? Because the subjects I taught were a lot of current events, economics, world issues, geography, world history. Think about teaching those today to students and trying to somehow make sense of it all, if that's even possible. Lots of things going on nationally, internationally, and I still get the Toronto Star, old school. I could get it online. I like the tactile experience, having morning coffee, reading the paper, and lo and behold, every once in a while, just like when I was teaching, I find myself going to get a pair of scissors and cutting that article. Not to photocopy for students, but to place in a file folder downstairs because sometime I might use it. I guess once a teacher, always a teacher. However, recently there was an article in the Star by a historian or about a historian named Adam Tooze, and he coined the term recently, just in the last few months, of polycrisis. Poly, more than one. Crisis? Well, you get it. And so he's talking about the polycrisis. And a problem becomes a crisis when it challenges our ability to cope and thus threatens our identity. In the polycrisis, the shocks are disparate, but they interact so that the whole is even more overwhelming than the sum of the parts. At times, one feels as if one is losing one's sense of reality. Can you relate in terms of what we've been going through for the last few years? And so he gives all sorts of examples. Global warming, the planet changing around us, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, the pandemic killed 6.5 million people, the effects on the global economy, the supply chain, even our present inflation. Governments, the US, UK, We watch these great democracies sort of floundering in the last little while, right? But it's not just them. Things going on in Hungary and Russia and India and China and Syria and Turkey. The January 6th Capitol riots. Midterm elections south of us. But even so, our own discussions about what happened on Parliament Hill. BC, Alberta, burning and flooding. Hurricanes hitting Atlantic Canada, drought in California, and California is set to overtake Germany as the world's fourth largest economy, one state, and you have drought and you have fire. What about food supply? Shock is the hallmark of the polycrisis. It is collectively suffered, a different tune played on different pianos, personally, nationally, and globally. But the human music, the human experience plays on. Well, he's saying that the mental and physical stress we are enduring will continue. He says you have to brace for what's coming. Not very optimistic. The polycrisis. Well, you know what? There have been all sorts of crises in this world for a long, long time. These are just our unique set of circumstances which are swirling around us, causing confusion. And yet, Jesus was in tumultuous times as well. And he couldn't get his message through. People wouldn't listen. Paul, when he's writing 1 Corinthians, said, "When I came to you, I did not do so with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Tune out the noise. Tune out the chaos. What's really important? Well, as it goes through, he talks about the fact that there were many towns that were unrepentant. And so he talks a lot about, you know, some of these places were just not listening to the news. They witnessed miracles, and they wouldn't come around to acknowledging that it was the Savior who was performing these miracles. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Things must have been pretty bad if that's his comparison. They wouldn't listen. He performed miracles and people were still turning their back on him. I wonder what the social conditions, the political conditions were for people to have such hardened hearts when these miracles were performed and they just turned their back on Christ. Well, he goes right on to say these famous verses which we take heart in. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So after he's talked to them about people have hardened hearts, he says, you know what? There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of tiredness. There's a lot of confusion in his world and in our world. But he draws us back with these simple words. Okay, if you're weary, if you're burdened, come unto me. I will give you rest. And so even though there's lots of noise in our present situation, and there's polycrisis around us, we come around this table every week to be reminded of the love that God had for us in sending Jesus into this world and for his sacrifice on the cross. He sent his only one and only Son to redeem this world, to basically save us from ourselves, to save this world condition, which can sometimes discourage us. Despite all the chaos and unpredictability that surround us each day, despite all the bad news that complicates life for us on this planet, there is refuge in Christ. There's eternal perspective in Christ. There is peace, there is rest, and there is renewal in Christ. Just as we have our GPS and we want to get to a destination and we make a wrong turn, you hear that Aussie voice saying, recalculating. See, despite all the wrong turns we make in this life, despite all the noise and traffic and confusion around us, if we can just keep pointed towards Christ, knowing that GPS is going to take us home someday, then the reality is Christ is constantly focused on getting us home eternally, despite all of the confusion and the traffic and the distractions of this world. And so as we refocus, as we recalculate for the week, we think about the love of Christ and what he has done for us as we partake of these emblems. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great love in sending Jesus into this world. We thank you that he is concerned about the human condition today, but he is more concerned about the eternal condition that we find ourselves in. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to rejoice in the fact that we know you, that we know what you have done for us. And as we partake of these emblems, help us to be reminded of his body and blood, which was broken and shed for us, so that we might be redeemed to you. We thank you for this great love that prompted it, and we pray that you will help us to recognize that is, despite all of the distractions in this world, that what is really important is keeping our eyes on you. And we pray that you will help us to focus on this as we partake of these emblems now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Genesis 1, verses 27 to 31. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Glad to have you with us today. I just want to encourage you. We started a Bible class this morning in our auditorium at 9:30, And it was going to be a running series, and we're calling it Seldom Studied Prophets. And so today we started with Habakkuk. What do we know about Habakkuk? And we're going to look at people like Nahum and Obadiah and other people that we just don't study very often. So I encourage you, if you can, I know it's a change, but we would encourage you to be part of that every Sunday morning at 9:30. We just go from 9:30 until 10. So if you can, that would be great. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we're going to spend some time talking about, and as Earl said, so needed, goodness. Oh, it's good. And I just wrote down a couple of things. I just have a brief sermon today. You're welcome. And I'll just share this with you. Think of this: a baby's giggle is good. The joy of falling in love, being in love, staying in love is good. A wonderful sleep is good. Learning more about Jesus, learning more about God is good. Finding Jesus as a personal Jesus, a Savior, a guide who's always with us, who said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. And to remember that is good. Finding Jesus as our Savior is good. Talking with a friend is good. Laughter is very good. A wonderful meal with friends is good. Seeing and exploring new places on vacation is good. Even getting lost is good, because you're going to see new things. Being able to listen to different points of view is good. Maybe not always easy, but good. Falling in love, staying in love is good. Enjoying your occupation is very good. Always remembering that God is good and wants us to be happy is good. Every good and perfect gift is from God, and that's so very good. Being patient in tumultuous times is difficult, but it's good. Good isn't always easy. Lloyd John Ogilvy, who was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, wrote these words: when we feel that God is good, good to us despite everything we have said and done, then we know that mercy takes the shape of goodness. God's goodness is that he knows our every need even before we ask him. God's goodness is that he goes before us to show us the way. God's goodness was that at the time humankind deserved it least, he came in Jesus Christ to reveal himself and to die for the sins of the world then and now. He came to make men and women good, not by our own efforts, but by the atonement accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross. Our status before God is in and through Christ. He accepts us as new people made good because of Calvary. We can live in the security of the goodness of Jesus Christ. He gives us himself and his goodness. And as Jesus did good works, he teaches us to do good works. Now, Jesus was quite harsh in his words when there were people who falsified goodness, he said this, and it's not easy to hear, but Jesus said it profoundly, and I think loudly. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of the good stored up in that person. And the evil person brings evil things out of evil stored up in that person. So always remember, is what I'm going to be saying helpful? Most of us have heard this expression, and it's so very good. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Throughout Scripture, we are reminded that all goodness comes from God, and that every good and perfect gift is from above, from God. Many years ago, Saint Augustine wrote these words, only what is good attracts our love. Maybe some of us can remember falling in love, and all you could think about was that person and that love. Many years ago, it was St. Augustine, he said, only what is good attracts our love. The earth with its high mountain and gentle hills, level plains, is good. The lovely and fertile land is good. The sturdy house with its proportions, its spaciousness and light is good. The bodies of living things are good. The mild and healthy air is good. Pleasurable and health-giving food is good. Health itself, a freedom from pain and exhaustion, is good. The heart is loyal, is good. A righteous person is good. The sky with its sun, moon, and stars is good. The angels, by their holy obedience to God, always serving him, is good and will be part of that one day. We remember over and over again that all good things come from our loving God. God is the very essence of good. When talking about goodness, it isn't always easy, like we've said. Kenneth Working wrote these words, Lord, remind us that your call is not just to the treasured time of worship or to those peaceful moments of prayers, as wonderful as they are, but because of the resurrection, it is to move with courage into the encounters and arenas of life where many have not heard the gospel's call. Help us to speak it when it's not easy, to act when it's safer to just go along. Help us to know that in the day of Jesus Christ, his kingdom comes. And let us, O God, be bound by a love amazing and divine, and then go out and embrace a weary and despairing world and lift that world to you. Things as simple as going to the grocery store. People are busy, and you just smile. Sometimes people are taken back. Why is he smiling at me? It's just an expression of bringing goodness. And people who are in their jobs and are exhausted and tired, and you don't know what's going on at home, and you don't know what's going on at work, and you don't know what's going on at life, just a little positive comment can change a person's life. Goodness, they may remember that one time when I was so down and out, this person said this to me. And if they can do that, even though they have trouble, I can be that way. I can advertise goodness. Some of you remember when your first child was born, relying on you for everything. And one day, looking down at your baby, there's a smile, and it never stops. When babies are hungry, they cry. When they're fed, they smile. And for many of us, we sometimes forget how important it is to just share a simple niceness, if that's such a word, to people, as Jesus did. Jesus begins his ministry by saying, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news." Then, years later, Peter says, "God appointed Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Gentile, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good." And then in Mark 16, Jesus commissions his disciples with the words, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation." And we remember that we are to be bringers of good things, of good news, of encouragement. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and control. The first New Testament book written was the book of Galatians. It's Paul's encouragement for two unique and separate cultures who really couldn't stand to be in the room together, to forget that, to join together, even though the cultures were different, but to come together bounded by Christ himself. And it was the Apostle Paul who had to share this message over and over and over and over again. And you remember from one scripture where even Peter would sometimes get caught up with all of this. And Paul comes along and smooths it and says, "Let's go back to the way Jesus is and Jesus was and what he called us. Let us not become weary in doing good, and let's do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of faith." And God has called each one of us to do good works, not necessarily profound works, but just good things. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," help me with this, "to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I think that's a good thing to remember, and maybe to share that encouragement. Remember why we were created: to love Christ, to do good works. And to the church at Philippi, Paul says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ." Many of us remember our baptism. Many of us remember the first time we had communion. It was remarkable. It was wonderful. And always remember that we have this with us all the time, to carry it out to completion, to keep loving God, to keep having faith, to do good things as God does for us. And then Paul, as an older man, reminds Timothy that Paul's life will be coming to an end. So he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Ha! Who knew we were in the Bible? That's us. And then this beautiful scripture written by Peter. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Like newborn babies. Do you remember the first baby into your home? It's constant care, but so wonderful. Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so, in conclusion today, Peter says to them, live such good lives. Live such good lives among the unbelievers that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they can't do it for long because they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I want to encourage all of us, just simple things throughout this week, if you can remember. What good can you do? Phone call, care, listening to people, whatever it is. It's good to be good. Amen.
I'm going to do a short reading and a prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord and refuse to do wrong. If you do it, it will be like good medicine, healing your wounds and easing your pain. Honor the Lord by making him an offering from the best of what your land produces. If you do, your barns will be filled with grain, and you will have too much wine to store it all. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for being, and thank you for all that you are. And we pray that you will fill us with faith and give us more faith. We want to trust in you. We want to rely on you. We want to cling to you this week. We want to be your obedient servants, and we want to give you the best of all we have and the best of all we are. Please show us the way to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version. Second edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society. Used by permission. Scripture quotations marked NIV taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission. All rights reserved worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.